Support for State Week comes from the following sponsors: PI.org, the Illinois Education Association, and Visit Springfield.
From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Well, two of what are known as the ComEd 4 winning their release from custody, they've been granted new trials as well. And the former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan appealing his conviction. We're going to talk about that and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Professor Emeritus and former Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Charlie's also been a longtime reporter and observer. And our guest this week, good to have back with us, Ray Long, a retired Chicago Tribune reporter and also the author of The House That Madigan Built. Ray, great to have you back with us.
Good to be here as always, Sean. Thank you for having me on.
Well, Ray, you covered the trial of the ComEd 4, and these are four people tied with Commonwealth Edison, a utility in Northern Illinois, and they were brought up on charges of working in some scheme with Michael Madigan to basically get legislation passed that was favorable to ComEd in exchange for hiring some of the people Madigan wanted to get jobs. So what has happened here since this conviction? What has happened to overturn that?
Well, there's a lot of things that are happening in this case. The first thing was they were convicted of all counts, including bribery. And then they were also convicted of keeping inaccurate books, which is a crime under a federal statute called the Foreign Corrupt Act. And also they were convicted of conspiracy. Well, first, the U.S. Supreme Court basically chopped up part of the bribery law called 666, the federal law dealing with bribery. And that's named, the 666 is named after the statute. And so what the Supreme Court did was say that if you accept a gratuity after you've done something in favor of somebody with an official act, then it doesn't count as bribery. So this came out of Indiana, Portage, Indiana. A mayor there received a gratuity of something like $12,000 or $13,000 after he had granted and approved a couple of contracts for a local dealer there for garbage trucks. And so after the Supreme Court, he was convicted of bribery on that, but the Supreme Court said no, because it was after the fact and there wasn't a clear quid pro quo. Therefore, it is not a bribery. And that basically threw out a large part of the bribery statute. So then the ComEd 4 folks said, hey, this is what we were convicted on bribery. So they took it back up to the district court, and the district court judge here in Chicago said, you're right, we're tossing the bribery counts. So what they had hanging and what sent him to prison was this conviction on falsifying the bookkeeping and conspiracy. So then they have appealed. The two people who are appealing this, Mike McLean, the longtime lobbyist and confidant of Madigan, and Ann Promajori, the former CEO of ComEd, two of the ComEd 4. And they appealed it, they argued it, and suddenly, really stunningly, the appeals court ordered that they be released from prison and signaled that they're going to reverse the convictions and order a new trial. And the reasoning is that the panel of appeals judges said they could not tell if the jury had decided to just convict on these other counts, the bookkeeping and conspiracy counts, because they had reached a decision that the overall case was about bribery and the other two counts were just kind of superfluous and buttressed the bribery. So because there was not a clear marking down in the verdict form of these others that they'd considered it, and there had been a question that came up late in the jury deliberation, of which was about 5 days, about one of the counts, the appeals panel just didn't wait to write a full opinion. They this week came out and said, you know, they heard the case, and the same day they said this is going to be sent back for a new trial, and Anne Pramaggiore and Mike McLean should be released. And they have been released from prison. They've both been in for a few months. But this was a stunning, like I said, a stunning move here by the appeals court.
Yeah, Charlie, this is something, this bribery statute, we talked about that before that trial even got underway, of whether or not it could impact the case. There was some thought it would impact Michael Madigan's case as well. But it's still, I mean, again, it was a stunning turnaround here to hear this. But what's your thoughts on what the judges decided?
Well, I would second what Ray said. It was absolutely amazing, because usually in cases like this, the judges will consider, and then they'll say, well, we'll issue an opinion in a couple of days or in a couple of weeks and let things hang. But this was a matter of within hours, and the judges said, yeah, release them, and we'll actually give you the written opinion later. But it was a sense of urgency of getting McLean and Pramaggiore out of prison that just struck me as, I can't remember anything like it before.
Yeah, the one of the lawyers arguing on behalf of the defendants here, McLean and Pramaggiore, said, you know, this is basically a case where a guy like McLean didn't even know the rules or what was going on with what was being filed internally with the bookkeeping. So how could he be charged with and convicted of falsifying records, even though he probably knew there was some kind of record being done, and he clearly knew that this was all part of a way to help Madigan out by putting some of his allies on subcontracts. Something I didn't mention was that the contracts, the deal was that four or five precinct captains and allies of Madigan had been given contracts, subcontracts, through Jay Doherty, one of the other people who was a lobbyist for ComEd and was one of the ComEd four, and that McLean was aware of how they'd arranged for all of these folks to get these subcontracts and then not really have anything to do. So these were basically ghost jobs, and they still got paid, and it was up like over $1.3 million for the total that ComEd paid. And this was all during the time that ComEd had significant legislation that was very lucrative to their bottom line that passed. Now, everybody on Madigan's side and will say, well, Madigan was tough on ComEd and made sure that they were held their feet to the fire during the negotiations on the bill. But this was going on. They also, the prosecutors had said, well, they also showered his legislative district with, you know, 10 or more college internships each year of his choice for his constituents. They also funneled money to Victor Reyes, an ally for with Madigan, funneled money to his law firm to get work from ComEd, and that they had pushed to get Madigan's choice of Juan Ochoa on the ComEd board of directors. Now, Madigan was not convicted in the Juan Ochoa case count, but there's all of this, the prosecution side, when they argued against, you know, a new trial, said, you know, there was mounds of evidence here. And a lot of this all pointed to the fact that they could have been convicted on, based on the mounds of evidence. The point that the appellate justices said is that nobody knows for sure how they made these decisions. And when the case was driven so hard on the bribery allegations that were eventually knocked out, the appeals court judges said, hey, we got to send it back for a new trial.
We'll be back with more on State Week in a moment.
Support for State Week comes from PIORG, a nonprofit consulting firm providing resources for strategic planning, best practice implementation, and outcomes-focused program evaluation across the country, helping organizations make data understandable and actionable, enabling change makers to strengthen critical skills and serve others more effectively. PI, Plan, Implement, Evaluate. Services and information at PIORG.org.
We're back on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford, along with Charlie Wheeler and Ray Long. Charlie, when we get into this discussion of, I guess, bribery, just to put it in that term, we've talked about this in the past, but I think it's worth mentioning again that it's kind of been the way business was done in Springfield for a long time. Not saying that excuses anybody, but you know, it's not something that has not been seen, at least to some level, in the past.
Yeah, and sometimes it's been very obvious. There have been any number of former legislators who've been convicted. But in the case of Madigan, I think the difference is that his argument was what he was doing was what lawmakers do all the time, recommending people for jobs, trying to help out their constituents. And the feds are saying, well, yeah, but you were doing it not just to be a good public official. You were doing it because there was something in it for you. And you were able to, in essence, shake down ComEd for these jobs, these ghost jobs, and for other things. And so that's where the question will lie. And it occurred to me that ultimately this is going to get resolved probably by the U.S. Supreme Court. In the sense that I think if the Madigan's verdict is upheld, he's sure to appeal it. And on the other hand, if the U.S. attorneys lose, they may well take it to the court to see what options there may be. Although I guess if Madigan is acquitted in a retrial, the U.S. attorney has no recourse. That would be the final judgment. But I believe that there's a lot more to be heard about this case. And it does underscore what have been kind of loosey-goosey rules for a long time in terms of you scratch my back and I'll scratch your back. And is that part of politics? Some would argue that, yeah, that's what it's all about. You're going to vote as a constituent. I'm going to vote for somebody who's going to do what I want them to do on certain issues. Is that corrupt or is that the way it's supposed to work? I don't know.
I think Charlie raises good points there. And one of the things that we had talked about, Sean, before we got on here was, does this ComEd verdict, or a rather ruling by the appeals court, have an impact on Madigan's case? Well, I'm sure Madigan was happy to see the result of that, but the prosecutors took Madigan to trial after this decision that broke up the bribery statute. And so they were able to use a different theory in Madigan, more of a straight quid pro quo versus the ComEd 4 case. And so it isn't going to be argued on the same grounds or same issues. And so it's not a template for overturning Madigan's case too. So it's still going to be one of those that's argued out. I think it will go to the Supreme Court ultimately too. But as far as the ComEd 4 case's impact on Madigan, it doesn't seem to track because of the different theories that the prosecution used, because they were educated by the U.S. Supreme Court's case on that cut the bribery statute up. The other thing that comes out here that strikes me is that if the Congress changes and goes Democratic, there's a chance that Democrats will try to reestablish that law that broke up the bribery statute, make it written in a way that's constitutional, so that you can't just take a gratuity after you do something and then not be considered a bribe. It was almost absurd, if you think about it that much, because eventually a bribe's a bribe. If you know you're going to get something, if there wasn't an explicit quid pro quo, there's a lot of questions here, obviously. But these types of issues could be tightened when Democrats come back, and if they come back and take over Congress, and they get a president who would be likely to sign it. This president probably wouldn't. But these issues are still hanging out there. The Madigan case, he's in prison. He was sentenced to 7.5 years. He's going to turn 84 this Sunday.
So Madigan, as we mentioned, appealing his conviction. What's the timeline on this, Ray? I mean, when might we know something?
Yeah, I think it'll be months. I can't tell you if it's going to be 1 month, 2 months, or 17 months, but most likely it'll be within the next 4 to 6 months.
All right, we'll continue to watch that. You're listening to State Week. Back with more in a moment.
Support for State Week comes from Visit Springfield, featuring dozens of attractions and overnights on Route 66 in the capital city. Springfield is home to numerous Lincoln sites, Frank Lloyd Wright's Dana Thomas House, the Illinois State Capitol, and more. The Visit Springfield team can help organizers plan their event in the capital city. Attractions and tourism information at visitspringfieldillinois.com.
This is State Week. I'm Sean Crawford, along with Charlie Wheeler and Ray Long. Charlie, legislation is moving at the Illinois State House. Of course, it should be this time of the year, only a little over a month to go before the spring session comes to an end. One of those has to do with something called autonomous driving, and maybe a lot of people aren't as familiar with that, but these are the vehicles that don't require an actual human to drive. What is going on with this legislation? What's the latest on it?
Sean, you mentioned how things are moving. I'm not really sure if moving would be the right description of this particular legislation. This is a measure that would create pilot programs for driverless vehicles in Chicago and some other large cities across the state. Labor unions, construction workers, bus drivers, there's a coalition that has organized itself to be against this legislation. It includes the Teamsters, the AFL-CIO, Chicago Federation of Labor. They're arguing that this could jeopardize public safety, and it would also eliminate jobs of some or all of its hundreds of thousands of workers with this problematic technology. Now, the bill has not really gone anywhere. It's stuck in the House Rules Committee, and it's not likely to advance through the legislative process anytime soon. And so the issue kind of remains in limbo, but it's a question that's got to be answered sooner or later. This comes as a company called Waymo, which is the self-driving car company. It's already operating fully autonomous robo-taxi services in cities in California, Arizona, and other areas, and it's been pushing to expand into Illinois. But the question is, and the issues that are being raised, is how reliable are these vehicles with no driver. And there's been instances of accidents where the autonomous system doesn't recognize some threat in the road. And there's also the question of, well, they work okay in LA, they work okay in San Francisco, they work okay in Phoenix. But if you think about it, how many icy, snowy conditions do you see in LA? So there's that question. How well will they work in these kind of conditions? Will they be able to adjust? And there's also the issue of what kind of insurance do they have to have? Do they have to have just the regular insurance that human drivers need, or does it have to be something more than that? So there's all these questions surrounding it. I think ultimately this is going to go through, but I don't think it's going to happen this session.
We'll continue to watch that. I want to save a couple of minutes here also to talk about news we got before doing this show, that the passing of the former House Majority Leader Barbara Flynn Curry, and certainly a giant in the Illinois State House through the years. Charlie, let me start with you. You've covered her for many years. She was there for 40 years. And what's your thoughts about Barbara Flynn Curry?
Well, I thought she was an excellent legislator. I was there covering for the Sun-Times when she first was elected and took office. I believe it would have been in January, I want to say, of 79. And she was a very thoughtful, very engaging, very, like, brilliant debater. And she handled some pretty important issues. And she was named Majority Leader by Mike Madigan in 1997. And she was the first woman to hold that position. And she held that position at the time of her retirement, when she didn't run for re-election in 2018 and her term ended in 2019. Since then, she's been chair of the Pollution Control Board. One of the things that strikes me about her career is she was the woman, or she was a legislator, who was in charge of the House Committee. She was the chair of the House Committee that did the investigation on Governor Rod Blagojevich that led to the recommendation that he be removed from office. And so the House impeached him, and then the Senate removed him because of the federal corruption charges against him. So, yeah, I thought very, very much of Barbara Flynn Curry. I thought she was an outstanding lawmaker.
And Ray, you've covered her for decades as well.
I will echo what Charlie said. She was an incredible debater. She could speak quickly and answer anything, and she handled many, many pieces of very difficult legislation, and she was always able to rebut any issues that were brought up by opponents of legislation, and she could field questions with an incredible quick mind. She was a mentor to many, many people. She was an inspiration as a trailblazer to many people. And she will be remembered and should be remembered for years to come, if not deserving of a statue of her own.
Sharp as a tack, certainly. Barbara Flynn Curry, former House Majority Leader. Let's move on to our notes from the field. Ray, we'll go to you.
Sean, there's a bill that's moving in the General Assembly now to put restrictions on these motor scooters and electric bikes. They may not be as much of a problem downstate, but in Chicago, they are just a real crazy addition to the road. I have seen people on these motor scooters, these are the ones you stand up on, adults racing along at 20, 30 miles an hour with a little kid who couldn't be over 3 or 4 years old reaching up to hang on to the handlebars as the dad or an adult reaches down over him to steer the thing. I've seen people riding it three abreast And let me tell you, they also don't feel any need to follow the traffic lights or traffic patterns. They're zipping on left and right and in front and around. It's just a dangerous situation here for everybody, and I'm glad to see they're putting re or I'm glad to see they're trying to put restrictions on them.
Also this week, the Republican nominee for governor, Darren Bailey, announced he has moved into a Chicago apartment. He's going to be living in a place on the city's near south side. It's expected to give him easier access to city and suburban voters. He says he's more focused on Chicago during this campaign. He lost last time to J.B. Pritzker and got just about 15% of the vote in the city. That was in 2022. He'd also lived in a building in what was known as the Hancock Center during that 2022 campaign. Charlie.
Well, one of the things that in recent years has happened is that there's been a competition for the coolest thing made in Illinois, and this is done by the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Well, they announced the award this past week, and the award actually went to something out of this world, literally. The astronauts just returned from their voyage around the moon, and a device built by an Illinois company helped make the mission a success. It's called the NASA Standard Initiator, and it's a small, electrically activated pyrotechnic device that, in essence, initiates a chain reaction of heat and pressure in spaceflight that separates the crew capsule from the second stage of the flight. And the company that makes it is called Chemring. It wasn't their first trip to space. The device was on the Mars lander and the Atlas satellite launchers. And the company's involvement goes back to the Apollo missions. The device, Chemring's NSI, beat out more than 100 other Illinois manufactured products. The president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association, Mark Densler, said, quote, "This year's winner is truly out of this world and represents the very best of Illinois manufacturing, embodying the creativity and innovation that is the hallmark of our incredible industry." So congratulations to Chemring.
And also I want to mention congratulations to our guest this week, Ray Long. The Illinois News Broadcasters Association gives out an annual Illinoisan of the Year award this year in honor of his long career in journalism and also his contributions to journalism. Ray Long has been selected for that. Ray, congratulations, and well-deserved.
Thank you very much. You know, Charlie, of course, has won this award before, so I knew it was a pretty big deal if Charlie Wheeler had won it.
Both of you well-deserved, and congrats to both of you for that. Once again, you've been listening to State Week. I'm Sean Crawford. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler and Ray Long, retired Chicago Tribune reporter and author of The House That Madigan Built. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. Join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.
Support for State Week comes from the members of the Illinois Education Association, serving 135,000 members of educators and support professionals around Illinois. IEA's mission is to promote excellence and equity in public education. When schools and communities unite, we all win. Resources and membership information at ieanea.org.